Asat karma yoga vishishyate Gaya sanitya sanyasi Yona dveshti nakangshati Nirdvanvo hi mahabaho Sukham bandhat pramuchyate Sankhya yoga pritag bala Pravadanti napanditaha Ekamapyastita samyag Ubayor vindate palam Yat sankhyai praptyate stanam Tad yoga rapigamyate Ekam sankhyam cha yogam cha Yapashyati sapashyati Sanyasastu mahabaho Dukam aptum ayogataha Yoga yukto manir brahma Nacharinari gachyati Yoga yukto vishuddhatma Vijitatma jitendriyaha Sarvabhutatma bhutatma Kurvan api nalipyate Naiva kinchit karomiti Yukto manyeta tatpavit Pashyan shrinvan sprishan jigran Ashnan gachan swapan shashan Pralapan vishvijan grinnan Unmishan nimishan api Indriyan indriyarteshu Partanta iti tarayan Brahmanyadaya karmani Sangam tyakva karoti aha Lipyate na sapapena Padma patram vivambasa Kaina manasa budhya Kevaler indriyerapi Yogina karma kurvanti Sangam tyakva lashudhaye Yukta karma palam tyaktva Shantim apnoti naishtikim Ayukta kama karena Pale sakto nibadyate Sarva karma ni manasa Sanyasyaste sukham vashi Navadvare pode dehi Naiva kurvan nakarayan Nakartritvam nakarmani Lokasya srijati prabhu Nakarma palasam yogam Sobhavastu pravartate Nadate kashchit papam Nachaiva sukritam vibhu Agyanam navritam jnanam Tena huhyanti jantavaha Jnanena tu tadajnanam Yesham nashitam atmanaha Tesham aditya vajjnanam Prakashayati tatparam Tad buddhayas tadatmanas Tannishtas tatparayanaha Gachantya punaravrithim Jnana nirtuta kalvasaha Vidya vinaya sampanne Ramane gabihastini Shuni chaiva shvapake cha Pandita samadarshinaha Hihaiva tera jita sargo Yesham samyestitam manaha Nirdosham hi samam brahma Tasmad brahmani testitaha Na prahrishyet priyam prapya Nodvijet prapya cha priyam Stira bhutira sammudho Brahma vid brahmani stitaha Bhaya sparshe sasaktatma Vindadhyatmani yatsukham Sa brahma yoga yuktatma Sukham akshayam ashnute Yehi samsparsha jabhoga dukkhayo naya eva te adhyanta vanta kaunteya na te shuramate buddhaha shakno tihai vaya shodhum prakshara vimokshanat kama krododbhavam begam sayukta sa sukhi naraha yonta sukhon tararamas tatantar jyotirevayaha sayogi brahma nirvanam brahma bhuto digacchati labante brahma nirvanam rishaya shina kalmasha chinna dvaita yatatmana sarva bhuta hiterataha kama krodha vimuktanam yatinam yata chetasam abhito brahma nirvanam vartate viditatmanam svarshan kritva bahir bayams chakshushchaivantare bruvoho pranapanau samau kritva nasabhyantara charinau yatendriya mano buddhir munir moksha parayanaha vigatecha bhaya krodho yaksada mukta eva saha Bhoktaram jagyatapasam sarvaloka maheshwaram suriram sarvabhutanam gyatvamam shanti vichyati Om Tat Sat Iti Srimad Bhagavad Gita Supanishatsu Brahmavidyayam Yoga Shastre Shri Krishna Arjuna Samvade Karma Sanyas Yoga Nama Panchamo Jayaha. Now, can you do the English? Hare Hare Krishna Hare Hare. Arjuna said, O Krishna, first of all, you ask me to renounce work, and then again you recommend work with devotion. Now will you kindly tell me which of the beneficial? The personality of Godhead replied, the renunciation of work and work in devotion are both good for liberation. But of the two, work in devotional service better than renunciation of work. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Rama. Rama Rama Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Rama Rama Hare Hare, Hare Krishna Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare, Hare Krishna Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare, Hare Krishna Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare, Hare Krishna Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare, Hare Krishna Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare, Hare Krishna Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare, Go Premanande. Now we're going to finish reading the translations to the Gita, and I want Homa to pick out a verse that you want to hear the purport, the explanation to. Okay? So we'll go through the whole chapter, and then whatever one appeals to you for any reason whatsoever, you let us know and we'll read the purport. Okay? Okay. One who neither hates nor desires the fruits of his activities is known to be always renounced. Such a person, free from all dualities, easily overcomes material bondage and is completely liberated, O mighty armed Arjuna. Only the ignorant speak of devotional service, karma yoga, as being different from the analytical study of the material world, Sankhya. Those who are actually learned say that he who applies himself well to one of these paths achieves the results of both. One who knows that the position reached by means of analytical study can also be attained by devotional service, and who therefore sees analytical study and devotional service to be on the same level, sees things as they are. Merely renouncing all activities, yet not engaging in the devotional service of the Lord, cannot make one happy. But a thoughtful person engaged in devotional service can achieve the supreme without delay. One who works in devotion, who is a pure soul, and who controls his mind and senses, is dear to everyone, and everyone is dear to him. Though always working, such a man is never entangled. Although engaged in seeing, hearing, touching, smelling, eating, moving about, sleeping and breathing, always knows within himself that he actually does nothing at all. Because while speaking, evacuating, receiving, or opening or closing his eyes, he always knows that only the material senses are engaged with their objects and he is aloof from them. One who performs his duty without attachment, surrendering the results unto the Supreme Lord, who is unaffected simply actions, as a lotus leaf is untouched by water. The yogis, abandoning attachment, act with body, mind, intelligence, and even with the senses, only for the purpose of purification. The steadily devoted soul attains unadulterated peace because he offers the result of all activities to me, whereas a person who is not in union with the divine, who is greedy for the fruits of his labor, becomes entangled. When the embodied living being controls his nature and mentally renounces all actions, he resides happily in the city of nine gates, the material body, neither working nor causing work to be done. The embodied spirit, master of the city of his body, does not create activities, nor does he induce people to act, nor does he create the fruits of action. All this is enacted by the modes of material nature. Nor does the Supreme Lord assume anyone's sinful or pious activities. Embodied beings, however, are bewildered because of the ignorance which covers their real knowledge. When, however, one is enlightened, the knowledge by which nations is destroyed, then his knowledge reveals everything as the sun lights up everything in the daytime. When one's intelligence, mind, faith, and refuge are all fixed in the Supreme, then one becomes fully cleansed of misgivings through complete knowledge, and thus proceeds straight on the path of liberation. The humble sages, by virtue of true knowledge, see with equal vision a learned and gentle Brahman, a cow, an elephant, a dog, and a dog-eater outcast. Those whose minds are established in sameness and equanimity have already conquered the conditions of birth and death. They are flawless like Brahman, thus they are already situated in Brahman. A person who neither rejoices upon something pleasant nor laments upon obtaining something unpleasant, who is self-intelligent, who is unbewildered, and who knows the science of God, is already situated in transcendence. Such a liberated person is not attracted to material sense pleasure, but is always entranced, enjoying the pleasure within. In this way, the self-realized person enjoys unlimited happiness, for he concentrates on the Supreme. An intelligent person does not take part in the sources of misery which are due to contact with the material senses. O son of Kunti, such pleasures have a beginning and an end, and so the wise man does not delight in them. Giving up this present body, if one is able to tolerate the urges of the material senses and check the force of desire and anger, he is well situated and is happy in this world. One whose happiness is within, who is active and rejoices within, and whose aim is inward, is actually the perfect mystic. He is liberated in the Supreme, and ultimately he attains the Supreme. Those who are beyond the dualities that arise from doubts, whose minds are engaged within, who are always busy working for the welfare of all living beings, and who are free from all sins, achieve liberation in the Supreme. Those who are free from anger and all material desires, who are self-realized, self-disciplined, and constantly endeavoring for perfection, are assured of liberation in the Supreme in the very near future. Shutting out all external objects, keeping the eyes and vision concentrated between the two eyebrows, suspending the inward and outward breaths within the nostrils, and thus controlling the mind, senses, and intelligence. The transcendentalist aiming at liberation becomes free from desire, fear, and anger. One who is always in this state is certainly liberated. A person in full consciousness of me, knowing me to be the ultimate beneficiary of all sacrifices and austerities, the Supreme Lord of all planets and demigods, and the benefactor and well-wisher of all living entities, attains peace from the pangs of material existence. Okay, the verdict from Homa. Homa. Let the record show that Homa has chosen verse number 15. Do you have any particular reason you chose it? It's a very philosophical verse. This could lead to some pretty heavy conversation here. We could be here all night because of you, you know. Is this one all right? Okay. Tambor, I like it very much. I was missing it. Okay, and you play harmonium. What? No, that's all right. Narate kascha chit papa. Narate kascha chit papa. Na chaiva sukritam vibhu. Agyanin navritam jnanam. Tena huyanti jantavaha. Papam. Na chaiva sukritam vipuhu. Agyanin navritam jnanam. Tena mukhyanti jantavaha. Narate kasya chit papam. Nachaiva sukritam vibhu. Agyanin navritam jnanam. Tena huyanti jantavaha. Narate kasya chit papam. Na chaiva sukritam vibhu. Agyanin navritam jnanam. Tena muyanti jantavaha. Narate kascha chit papa. Na chaiva sukritam. A Ajnanavritam Jnanam Tena Muyanti Jantavah Na, never. Adate, accepts. Kasyachit, anyone's. Papam, sin. Na, nor. Cha, also. Eva, certainly. Sukritam, pious activities. Vibhu, the Supreme Lord. Ajnanina, by ignorance. Avratam, covered. Jnanam, knowledge. Tena, by that. Muyanti, are bewildered. Jantavaha, the living entities. Now, Advaita Acharya used to teach Bhagavad Gita every night at his house, in the open courtyard, and everyone in the, all the devotees used to come and hear his devotional commentary, including Lord Chaitanya's elder brother, Vishvarup. Advaita Acharya had a deep-seated desire to serve Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He knew that he was the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he disliked the fact that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu treated him with great respect because he was the elder. And Mahaprabhu used to treat him as his spiritual master, but Advaita Acharya wanted to offer that kind of respect to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, desiring to reverse the roles, one night, instead of giving his normal classes with a Vaishnava commentary, Advaita Acharya had a plan to invoke the ire of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And there's one way to do that very quickly, and that is to speak non-devotional philosophy, that is, Mayavad. So he began to speak on the Yoga Vashishta, and give an impersonal commentary, saying that gyan, leading to impersonal realization, was actually the highest method for self-realization. And the devotees that were sitting in the courtyard heard him speaking this philosophy, and some of them went to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and told him, Advaita Acharya is speaking from the Yoga Vashishta and saying that gyan is higher than bhakti. And Mahaprabhu became angry and hurried to that place where Advaita Acharya was giving the talk. And as he came into the courtyard, Advaita Acharya continued his commentary on the Yoga Vashishta, saying jnana is higher than bhakti. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then spoke to him some angry words and said, how can you say this, Advaita? What are you talking about? Which is higher, gyan or bhakti? And Advaita Acharya said, gyan is higher than bhakti. And Mahaprabhu then approached him and he said, tell which is higher, gyan or bhakti? And Advaita Acharya said, gyan, gyan. And Mahaprabhu, in his anger, he grabbed Advaita Acharya and he pulled him off of his seat. And he said, which is higher, gyan or bhakti? And Advaita Acharya said, gyan, gyan. And as he said that, Mahaprabhu began to beat him. And Sita Thakurani, the wife of Advaita Acharya, came running out to the courtyard and said, no, no, stop, he's an old man. And as Mahaprabhu continued with his rage, hearing these words from Advaita Acharya, suddenly he noticed that Advaita Acharya had a big smile on his face. And he was relishing this chastisement from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Mahaprabhu suddenly stopped, realizing what he had done. And then Advaita Acharya said, now we see who is the real master. And his wish was fulfilled. So tonight we're beginning our session with Bhagavad Gita, because Bhagavad Gita is the sure way to develop a direct relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. From the lotus mouth of Krishna has emanated this beautiful sound vibration called the Song of God. And anyone who hears it regularly is uplifted in all aspects of life. The intelligence becomes fortified, the heart becomes devotional. And Advaita Acharya would speak on Bhagavad Gita constantly. Once he came to a verse in the 13th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita that speaks about how the arms and legs of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are everywhere. And it's a very difficult verse to understand. Advaita Acharya would not move on to the next verse that he was speaking about until he had realization of the verse he was on. And he was bewildered by this particular verse, and not getting the understanding of the verse, he became very morose, and then he said, I'm going to fast until I can understand the meaning of this verse. And later, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, within his heart, revealed the meaning to the verse. And when Mahaprabhu was performing his Mahaprakash, which we saw the site of the other day at Srivasangam, he revealed to Advaita Acharya that when you are in anxiety and fasting, not knowing the meaning of this verse from the Bhagavad Gita, I revealed it to you from within your heart. And Advaita Acharya could understand the omniscience of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu from that statement. So we follow in the footsteps tonight of Advaita Acharya by hearing this commentary picked by Homa from the 15th from the 5th chapter, 15th verse. Translation: Nor does the Supreme Lord assume anyone's sinful or pious activities. Embodied beings, however, are bewildered because of the ignorance which covers their real knowledge. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The Sanskrit word vibhu means the Supreme Lord, who is full of unlimited knowledge, riches, strength, fame, beauty, and renunciation. He is always satisfied in himself, undisturbed by sinful or pious activities. He does not create a particular situation for any living entity, but the living entity, bewildered by ignorance, desires to be put into certain conditions of life, and thereby his chain of action and reaction begins. A living entity is, by superior nature, full of knowledge. Nevertheless, he is prone to be influenced by ignorance due to his limited power. The Lord is omnipotent, but the living entity is not. The Lord is vibhu, or omniscient, but the living entity is anu, or atomic. Because he is a living soul, he has the capacity to desire by his free will. Because he is a living soul, he has the capacity to desire by his free will. Such desire is fulfilled only by the omnipotent Lord. And so, when the living entity is bewildered in his desires, the Lord allows him to fulfill those desires, but the Lord is never responsible for the actions and reactions of the particular situation which may be desired. Being in a bewildered condition, therefore, the embodied soul identifies himself with the circumstantial material body and becomes subjected to the temporary misery and happiness of life. The Lord is the constant companion of the living entity as Paramatma, or the Supersoul, and therefore he can understand the desires of the individual soul, as one can smell the flavor of a flower by being near it. Desire is a subtle form of conditioning for the living entity. The Lord fulfills his desire as he deserves. Man proposes and God disposes. The individual is not, therefore, omnipotent in fulfilling his desires. The Lord, however, can fulfill all desires, and the Lord, being neutral to everyone, does not interfere with the desires of the minute, independent living entities. However, when one desires Krishna, the Lord takes special care and encourages one to desire in such a way that one can attain to Him and be eternally happy. The Vedic hymns therefore declare, Esha u heva sadhu karma karayati tam yam ebhyo lokebhya uninishate Esha u eva sadhu karma karayati yam ado ninishate. The Lord engages the living entity in pious activities so that he may be elevated. The Lord engages him in impious activities so that he may go to hell. From the Kaushitaki Upanishad. From which Upanishad? That's right, it's the Kaushitaki. Agno jantur anisho yam atmana sukha dukayoho ishvara prerito gachet swargam vashvabhram evacha. The living entity is completely dependent in his distress and happiness. But by the will of the Supreme, he can go to heaven or hell as a cloud is driven by the air. Therefore, the embodied soul, by his immemorial desire to avoid Krishna consciousness, causes his own bewilderment. Consequently, although he is constitutionally eternal, blissful and cognizant, due to littleness of his existence, he forgets his constitutional position of service to the Lord and is thus entrapped by nescience. And under the spell of ignorance, the living entity claims that the Lord is responsible for his conditional existence. The Vedanta Sutra 2.134 also confirms this. Vaishamya nagrine na sapakshatvat tatahi darshayati. The Lord neither hates nor likes anyone, though he appears to. Hare Krishna. Anything you heard that stuck in your mind? Yes? Yeah, I'll answer that by reading you the verse from the 9th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. Where Krishna says, if I'm speaking slowly, I'm delaying. Samaham sarva bhuteshu nami dveshosti na priyaha. And this is verse 29 in chapter 9. Samaham sarva bhuteshu nami dveshyo stina priyaha ye bhajanti tu mam bhaktya mai te teshu chapyaham. Translation, I envy no one, nor am I partial to anyone. I am equal to all. But whoever renders service unto me in devotion is a friend, is in me, and I am also a friend to him. Purport. One may question here that if Krishna is equal to everyone and no one is his special friend, then why does he take a special interest in the devotee who always engages in his transcendental service? That's your question, right? Similar.
No, my question is, according to the statement that Krishna said, does it apply to his special?
Yeah, it's similar. But this is not discrimination, it is natural. Any man in this material world may be very charitably disposed, yet he has a special interest in his own children. The Lord claims that every living entity in whatever form is his son, and so he provides everyone with a generous supply of the necessities of life. He is just like a cloud which pours rain all over, regardless of whether it falls on rock or land or water. But for his devotees, he gives special attention. Such devotees are mentioned here. They are always in Krishna consciousness, and therefore they are always transcendentally situated in Krishna. The very phrase, Krishna consciousness, suggests that those who are in such consciousness are living transcendentalists situated in him. The Lord says here distinctly, Maite, they are in me. Naturally, as a result, the Lord is also in them. This is reciprocal. This also explains the word ye, the words, yeyata mam prapadyante tams tataiva bhajamyaham. Whoever surrenders unto me, proportionately I take care of him. This transcendental reciprocation exists because both the Lord and the devotee are conscious. When a diamond is set in a golden ring, it looks very nice. The gold is glorified, and at the same time, the diamond is glorified. The Lord and the living entity eternally glitter, and when a living entity becomes inclined to the service of the Supreme Lord, he looks like gold. The Lord is a diamond, and so this combination is very nice. Living entities in a pure state are called devotees. The Supreme Lord becomes the devotee of his devotees. If a reciprocal relationship is not present between the devotee and the Lord, then there is no personalist philosophy. In the impersonal philosophy, there is no reciprocation between the Supreme and the living entity, because in the personalist philosophy there is. The example is often given that the Lord is like a desire tree, and whatever one wants from this desire tree, the Lord supplies. But here the explanation is more complete. The Lord is here stated to be partial to the devotees. This is the manifestation of the Lord's special mercy to the devotees. Uh-oh, Ramana and Saka won't be able to hear the answer. Just let me finish this one part. But here the explanation is more complete. The Lord is here stated to be partial to the devotees. This is the manifestation of the Lord's special mercy to the devotees. The Lord's reciprocation should not be considered to be under the laws of karma. It belongs to the transcendental situation in which the Lord and his devotees function. Devotional service to the Lord is not an activity of this material world. It is part of the spiritual world where eternity, bliss, and knowledge predominate. So there's a transcendental exchange between the Lord and the devotees because they're both conscious and they both have free will. The Lord has unlimited free will and the living entity has minute free will. And although this verse says that although he's impartial to everyone, he is partial to his devotees. Madhukari?
Yeah. The verse seems a little esoteric. You know, like, nor is the Supreme Lord assuming the cause of bias, which seems like it was like when I first heard that, I was thinking, what is that? But in the purport, it was explaining how, I think, that Prabhupada was explaining how, like, people try to blame God for their position. Like, they're trying to say that it's just because, like, I'm experiencing so much difficulty in my life. But that's actually a result of their own activities, like whatever situation.
Lucky thing, too, because if God was simply interested in punishing randomly, then we'd have no hope. But actually, he is a completely just, and that's what the laws of nature mean, that there's an equal opposite reaction to whatever we do. It's not more or less than we deserve. And he's not involved in pushing us towards sinful activities or pious activities, but when we become involved in the cycle of the material world, we implicate ourselves, and therefore we can also extricate ourselves. And that's why there's Shastra. The Vedanta Sutra says that the living entity is capable of extricating himself. Otherwise, why is there Shastra? The Shastra must have some meaning. It's speaking to someone, therefore the living entity can take advantage of it and rise above the modes of nature and the reactions. Gandharvika?
Understand that not even the blade of grass moves without the sanction of Krishna. So in our day-to-day life, how do we relate both and become, come to a higher understanding that though it is Krishna who's doing it, but it's because of me. So how do we practically apply these two concepts in our day-to-day life?
That by understanding what is the actual situation, that as the verse is saying, we're implicated because of our own misgivings. If you're unacquainted with the laws of driving, then you'll probably incur some kind of ticket or you'll have some accident. And ignorance of the laws is no excuse. The reaction is still there. A court judge gives one person $1 million and another person is sentenced to 100 years in jail. And someone might say, well, the judge is being very partial here. You know, why did he give that man 100 years in jail and the other man $1 million? And the answer is he's impartial. But he's, according to the law, meeting out a certain kind of punishment or reward according to what's required by the law. So mercy is above justice. In this world there's justice, equal opposite reaction. But mercy is also available too, which means that we can, or Krishna can, supersede the laws of nature. For those who come to knowledge and actually begin to worship him and practice Krishna consciousness, he helps to extricate the living entity from the material world. As was mentioned here, he gives the intelligence so that they can come out of the ignorance. Ignorance also means ignorance. So it's the original cause of becoming implicated is turning one's face away from the Supreme. Sam, you had your hand?
Actually, it's relevant to what you just said. It's really a purport of 515 where Prabhupada said with regards to how the Lord doesn't assume one's sinful or pious reactions. These are due to our, I forget how exactly, but something like our since time immemorial, our avoidance of Krishna. And that's like that for me, is that there's kind of a deep-seated turning away from Krishna. And sometimes it feels in devotional service that, I mean, it's always a blessing and a wonderful thing. But it's almost like a hidden enemy, if I can personalize it. Someone like fighting with someone that just wants to like, turn away, that knows deep down that there is Krishna. There's also this playground that I've made for myself. And I just thought that was an interesting part of the report.
Avoidance. That there's a tendency to avoid Krishna. And therefore, the Srimad Bhagavatam says that the remedy is to turn our attention back to Krishna. And because of that, we'll solve the problem. Bhayam dvitya binibeshata syad ishad apetasya viparya yo smriti tanmaya to buddha abhijet tam bhaktyaika yesham guru deva tatma. Kavi Yogendra describes how the problem is that I've developed an opposite kind of intelligence. I've turned my face away from Krishna and become absorbed in the shadow rather than the reality. Dvitya means the material body, that which isn't really myself. And therefore, the verse says that one should then turn one's attention back to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And by doing that, then one turns towards the light. And after these verses, Krishna says, jnanena tatadagyanam, that just like when the sun comes up, you can see what is what and you know how to act properly and your misgivings are eradicated because of the light. So in the same way, by the process of direct Krishna consciousness, the problem is solved. And now we're going to sing the 100 names of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Nadiya nagare nitai neche neche gaire.
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 Nadiya nagare nitai neche neche gaire. Marukar, I mean. Nariya nagare nitai neche neche gaire. Can you find it for me, please? Find that button. Nariya nagare nitai neche neche gaire. Together. Jagannatha Sutta Mahaprabhu Vishwamba Mayapura Shashi Navadipa Sudaka Sachi Sutta Gora Hari Nimai Sunda Radha Baba Kanti Acharita Natada Namananda Chapala Bala Varier Mohan Tartika Sabasya Kramya Palika Kritan Lakshmi Prati Bora Datta Udata Balaka Shishachira Pati Putra Shota Nibaraka Lakshmi Pati Purva Desha Sarva Kleshahara Digvijay Darpahari Vishnu Priya Swaha Nadiya nagare nitai neche neche gaire. Nadiya nagare nitai neche neche gaire. Aya dharma pala pitre gaya pinda data. Puri shishma mapachaya sampradaya pata. Krishna namo nata Krishna tapa vyapaka. Nam sankirtan. Dharma Prabhata Advaita Bandhava Srinivas Krihadana Nityananda Pranga Gara Dhera Rajiva Nariyana Gare Nitai Neche Neche Gare Nariyana Gare Nitai Neche Neche Gare Antarti Shashadar Simanka Vijay Rami Hari Madhya Dipa Lila Shraya Tola Dipa Pati Rupa Dipa Maheshwa Janu Moja Duma Rudra Tere Rishwa Nava Kanda Ranganata Jana Vijivana Jagai Madai Ari Duvita Tarahi Nariya nagare nitai Karakitana Siha Kaji Udarana Shudanama Pracharaka Bhaktarti Harana Narayani Kripa Sundu Jivarani Yanta Adama Paduya Dandi Bhakta Doshahanta Shri Krishna Chaitanya Chandra Bharati Tarana Parivraj Shira Muni Yukalapava Nariyana Gare Nitai Neche Neche Gare Nariyana Gare Nitai Neche Neche Gare Ambulinga Bhuvanesha Kopatesha Pati Kirchor Gopal Darshana Sukhiyadi Nirdandi Sanyasi Sarva Bauma Kripa Moy Swananda Swanandi Sarva Sukhashoya Purata Sundara Vasudeva Tranakarta Ramananda Sakabhata Kula Klesha Nariyana Gare Nitai Neche Neche Gare Nariyana Gare Nitai Neche Neche Gare Bodha Jain Maya Bari Tarka Kandana Dakshina Pavana Bhakti Granta Udharana Alala Darshanandi Ratha Granartaka Gajapati Trana Deva Nanda Udaraka Kuliya Prakashe Dushta Paduya Anshana Masana Kana Bandhu Sava Jiva Prahana Nariyana Gare Nitai Neche Neche Gare Nariyana Gare Nitai Neche Neche Gare Vrindavana Nanda Balabhadra Sangi Yavana Udari Bhatta Balabhera Rangi Kashi Basi Sanyasi Udari Premadhata Makata Vairagi Dandi Achandala Chata Dera Gaurava Kari Bhatta Pranadana Haridas Raghunas Swarupa Jivata Nariyana Gare Nitai Neche Neche Gare Nariyana Gare Nitai Neche Neche Gare Pakati Vinod Bar Pode Ranga Pare Nariyana Gare Nitai Neche Neche Gare Nariyana Gare Nitai Neche Neche Gare Jaya Gaura
Krishna Krishna, Hari Hari. Continuing in the Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat, last night, where did we end? On what point? No, but what philosophical point did we walk out with and dream about last night? And wake up telling everybody in the morning at right after Mangalartik.
We was talking about hearing, being attracted to hearing a certain kind of pastime or like activities of Krishna.
Yeah.
It indicates the constitutional position of
the living. Phew, fantastic. And what else? Another phrase. Oh, they're going on in every species of life inconceivable to the human brain. Sundar.
Appreciating the
Yeah, the appreciating capacity. I was telling a few people after Mangalartik this morning that we have an appreciating capacity according to the capacity we have to appreciate the Lord. In fact, itam satam brahma sukhana bhutya dasyam katanam paradaivatena mayashritanam naradarakena sakam vrijaru krita punya punjaha. Do you know that verse? Madhukari? Yeah. Okay. Yes?
I have one comment to make regarding the appreciating capacity.
Yes.
I read somewhere that those...
Move a little to the right or the left. You're right in front of Diana. Okay.
Those who take pleasure in doing the devotion service are those who take pleasure in others doing the devotion service. Both of them are considered liberated souls.
Yeah. That's a really good point. We talked about that also as far as whatever you appreciate, appreciates. And the quote from Voltaire about whatever you appreciate in others, to the degree that you appreciate the good qualities in others, you also assume those qualities. Queen Kunti mentions in her prayer, Shrinvanti Gayanti Grinanti Sadhava, that when one is able to appreciate the devotional service of others, this is another kind of direct worship of the Lord, appreciating the devotional service of others. So you can appreciate your way back to Godhead. We're little individual appreciators, and to the degree our appreciating capacity is blocked, then we're in serious trouble. This is nirmatsara, or envy, is a kind of a disease, a covering of the soul, and it blocks the soul's ability to appreciate God and all of His creation and everything else. In the beginning of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Shukadeva Goswami begins speaking to Parikshit Maharaj about the universe, the universal form, pointing out to him that it's actually personal. And there's a way in which one develops gratitude. When you see how the trees are reaching out their arms with fruits and offering them, and the streams are giving water and so forth. How munificent is the creation of the Lord. And begin to appreciate that there's something personal behind it. Sometimes people nowadays say, you know, they appreciate the universe. They don't go as far as saying God or a personal God or something like that. It's like, the universe really gave me this new car and I really appreciate it. And Krishna talks about that in the 9th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. What is that verse? There's several different kinds of people who have sort of an indescript understanding, undefined understanding of God, and they worship God in indirect ways. However, the more that we develop our appreciating capacity, the more we're able to advance in devotional service, or we should say the more we are advanced in devotional service. Nirkula, do you have a point?
I guess when you were just talking about that appreciation, it made me think that to appreciate, we also have to have some other qualities. Because myself, sometimes I find it hard to appreciate someone all the time or a situation all the time. So I think I also have to develop qualities like empathy, and compassion, and gratitude in order to appreciate. And there's probably other qualities as well. But those three came to my mind. To be able to appreciate.
How is it you need compassion and those other things in order to appreciate? Gandharvika is shaking her head, so I think she agrees with you. Yeah.
Really expanded on what Shoji said, you went deeper into the concept of appreciation.
Well, there's a verse in the sixth chapter where Krishna talks about empathy, and he says that an advanced yogi is one who's able to empathize with the happiness and distress of others, relating it to his or her own experience. And that certainly would give a better perspective for appreciating. Is that what you meant?
Yeah.
Okay. Madhukari.
I was wondering if you could sort of like break down or dissect what it looks like to have one's capacity to appreciate, you know, Krishna expand or increase. What it looks like. Because if one has a capacity.
Well, to a very high degree, tate anukampam, tate anukampam susamikshamano bunjane evatma kritam vipatam hridvagva purvir vidatam namaste jiveta yo mukti pade sadaya pa. I mean, this is a very advanced stage of appreciation that God sends me miseries and I appreciate it. Some trouble comes, Queen Kunti says, and I appreciate that Krishna sent me an adverse situation or even a calamity to shake me to my core. Parikshit Maharaj is described as having developed these high qualities. The first one is called Shantir, or forgiveness. And when he's cursed by Sringi, this ignorant, very impotent young boy who simply misuses his brahminical power to curse the king, who's faultless, then King Parikshit says, "Thank you, Krishna. It's the only way I would have come out of my entanglement. I thank you so much. I really appreciate that. How you've chastised me, how you've dealt with me in this situation." That's one way you can see a very broad spectrum of appreciation, that you can appreciate everything, whatever happens, even good or bad things.
That one thing I heard you say that I liked was, if you want to develop unflinching faith and devotion, you have to be in the recent touch.
Yeah, to develop unflinching faith, you have to have lots of opportunities to flinch, otherwise how will you know? And therefore, those who go out and circulate to distribute Krishna consciousness meet many kinds of obstacles and objections that they have to overcome. I always say that it's better to come away from a hearing chanting session with more questions than answers, because it leaves you in a hungry state. When we have an in-depth discussion and we develop a series of questions that we feel that we've just touched the surface of, but they've stimulated our mind in a certain direction, then we go out into the world hungry and ready for hearing from all kinds of other people to fill in those gaps. And there's a perpetual learning process. We're eternally students. And also when we are fortified by that kind of knowledge and then we encounter difficulty, then we get to measure how much we're able to apply it. We hear about these things philosophically, but when it actually happens to me, then and how can I actually apply it in my life? It develops strength in Krishna consciousness, or it helps me to measure how far I've come. It's a nice point. Hale. Would it be wrong to appreciate things that are not Krishna conscious? Well, it would be. In the Bhagavatam, Krishna says to Brahma that anything that you see, or for that matter, appreciate, that isn't in relationship to me is my illusory energy. It's Maya. It's like Maharaj was pointing out in the class this morning, that there's facts and then there's reality. Reality means that it's connected to Krishna because everything's part of the Supreme One without absolute one, but he has different aspects. Everything that happens can be related to Krishna. So if you see non-devotional activities, but then you see how they're related to Krishna, and you appreciate it from that point of view. For instance, Dharma, the bull, in the first canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam is being beaten by a low-class person. It's representative of how, in the age of Kali Yuga, the basic principles of truthfulness and cleanliness and austerity and so forth are being diminished by a brutal kind of culture, brutish kind of culture. And when Dharma, the bull, is questioned by Maharaj Parikshit, who did this to you? He doesn't name the culprit, and he appreciates that it's going on by the force of God's higher energy, Kala, or time, and destiny. And so there's a way that if we see things that are non-devotional, we might see, we might appreciate the fact that there's going to be a reaction to them. Or, you know, we see them in perspective. And if there's a way, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, that I'm the ability in man. So if you see somebody in the Olympics who can jump really high, you might think that, okay, that's a non-devotional activity. I mean, they're very devoted, but not to Krishna. They spend like 16 years trying to jump a quarter of an inch higher than the last person, you know. But there's a lot of devotion, and the, obviously people are enamored of watching this because there's sort of a grace to it, and you know, we have an interest in seeing the ability in man. So if you see that and you say, well, that ability is coming from Krishna, the ability to do what they're doing is being supplied by Krishna, the intelligence and the strength and so forth, and you appreciate it from that point of view, so it has a connection ultimately. Otherwise, it becomes disconnected, and then it's a part of Krishna's illusory energy called Maya. Anything that doesn't connect to the supreme whole of the center becomes useless, disconnected. Just like a finger, when it's on part of the hand, it's valuable, but as soon as it's disconnected and lying in the street, nobody wants to touch it. It's not valuable. Or even a little screw. I remember this from fourth grade. We had these projectors, and it was always the happiest time in school when they'd bring the projector in, because that mean the teacher would stop talking and we'd get to watch a movie. And I remember somebody in the class, some little vandal kid, had taken one of the bolts off of the thing. I think we even saw him do it or something during lunch and just thought it was funny. But it wasn't so funny when the film wouldn't work and we didn't get to watch the movie. But I always remember that one little bolt in the whole movie, you know, if the bolt was connected, it was very valuable. But once it's disconnected, then it's just a bolt. So anything that's not connected to Krishna doesn't have relevance. And anything that is certainly relevant. Like Prabhupada mentions that we're not interested in battles and battlefields and so forth, but we are interested in the battlefield of Kurukshetra because Krishna fought there. And therefore the weapons and all the description of the armies and everything has great significance because it's connected. Is that right? Okay. Yes, Varsha. Well, we appreciate according to its connection to Krishna. That's the particular perspective of a devotee. And so we don't appreciate it as being very valuable unless it has some connection to the whole. If it's disconnected or something's an activity is performed for sense gratification or for a selfish purpose without a connection to Krishna, we don't appreciate it. It depends on the context, but you know, obviously, in our everyday dealings, there are ways in which we show courtesies, and we're not simply isolated in our vision that, well, that's not connected to devotional service, therefore we treat everyone we meet with disrespect. But you know, for instance, if you're living and working with people who are performing non-devotional activities, Krishna says in the Gita that you shouldn't discourage them, but simply encourage them to go on with whatever activities they're doing, but to learn how to connect them so that they can benefit from them. Yes?
When you were talking about, like, I guess, the person in the Olympic, maybe trying to help to jump a little further, and we can appreciate that because obviously Krishna gives the ability. But is there a limit or some boundaries to how much a devotee should devote time and energy? You know, here in America, the NFL and sports are just out of control as far as people's devotion to these things. And technically, Krishna gave these men the ability to play football or whatever. But to spend 3 or 4 hours in a day watching a ball game, or all the Olympics for hours and hours in a week, I mean, how does that play out in the devotee's life?
They play out as a distraction to hearing chanting. And one can become emotionally involved in those things and pour a lot of energy into them unnecessarily. The same kind of energy and devotion can be directed towards devotional activities. And then the benefit is very great. Otherwise, it is a great distraction. It's called, in the category of atyahara, or gramya katha, kinds of activities that are superfluous to devotional service but take a lot of energy and concentration, all kinds of games and sporting things like that. Not that devotees don't sport. I mean, within the Chaitanya Charitamrita, practically Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is always performing some kind of festival that's fun for the devotees. There's a mango eating festival. There's the Rath Yatra festival. There's the devotees have these sporting events in the Ganga, where even great scholars like Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and Advaita Acharya are splashing each other, and Mahaprabhu is noticing. Not that devotees become dead stones. In fact, Chaitanya Charitamrita, and the title itself means the activities that take place on the spiritual platform. And even there are all kinds of human interactions that are talked about in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. For instance, at the Rath Yatra, when Srivas Pandit was watching the dancing of Lord Chaitanya and the Rath Yatra, somebody behind him was touching and pushing him because they wanted to move him out of the way. That was the attendant of the king, Prataparudra, who couldn't see because Srivas Pandit was standing directly in front of him. And Srivas Pandit couldn't understand why he was being touched and pushed. So finally he turned around and he smacked Harish Chandra, who was the one who was pushing him. And Harish Chandra was just about to retaliate. And Prataparudra Maharaj said that, "I'm not so fortunate. I haven't been struck by a pure devotee. I haven't been slapped like that. I wish I was so fortunate. And immediately diffused the situation. The point is that there are all kinds of interactions and sporting activities and everything, but when they're connected to Krishna, then they become transcendentalized. Brahmarpanam brahmahavir brahmagnau brahmano hutan tenaiva brahmagantavya brahmakarma samadhina. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, anything that's connected to service to Krishna becomes transcendentalized. I mean, I'm sure there's a way the NFL could be dovetailed one way or the other. What if that halftime they had a big kirtan instead of, I mean, you know, they have Madonna and they have, I don't know who else, they come out and do a halftime show, but what if, you know, they've promoted these things in order to have, you know, Omkar come and do the halftime show. Who would like Omkar to do the next Super Bowl? Okay, Omkar, start practicing. Get ready for the next Super Bowl. Huh? A devotee. You mean on the football field? We'd probably watch. I know that a lot of the parents in Alachua or something, there's a one of the young players on some local team is one of the devotees, a young devotee kid who became very expert at soccer and went to all these championships. I forget what his name is. Anybody know Gopal or something? Shyam? So everyone's at the stadium yelling, Shyam, go Shyam! Now we're going to read from the Chaitanya Bhagavat, and we're continuing from the first verse. I only got partway through the purport. In this first verse of the Mangalacharan, the forms of Sri Gaura and Sri Nityananda are described. They have long arms that stretch to their knees. Their complexions are like gold, and their eyes are like the petals of the lotus flower. These two brothers have been described and adored by the inaugurators of the Sankirtan movement, the protectors of religious principles for this age, the maintainers of the living entities, the benefactors of the universe, the best of the Brahmins, and the most merciful of all incarnations. Sri Gaurahari and Sri Nityananda are the bestowers of the Mahamantra, the spiritual masters of the universe, and the fathers of pure chanting of the holy names. They are both benefactors of the universe because they preach the principles of Jive Daya, compassion for all living entities. They are addressed as Karuna and Vishrambar, merciful and the maintainers of the universe, because they have preached the religious principles for the age of Kali in the form of serving Vishnu and the Vaishnavas through the process of Sankirtan. Through the process of what?
Sankirtan.
Which is the only means of deliverance for the people of this age. Everyone should follow the principles of such prayers by Name Ruchi, having a taste for chanting the holy names, Jive Doya, showing compassion for other living entities, and Vaishnav Seva, serving the Vaishnavas. By using dvivachana, the verb form for two, rather than bahuvachana, plural verb form, it is established that their preaching, mercy, and protection of Yuga Dharma is different from that found in seminal succession. The arms of great personalities stretch to their knees, as indicated by the words ajanulambita bujao, whereas ordinary people's arms are not like that. Sri Gaura and Sri Nityananda are both Vishnu Tattva, who have appeared in this world. All the symptoms of great personalities were found in their transcendental bodies. It is stated in the Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi 3:42-44, one who measures 4 cubits in height and in breadth by his own hand is celebrated as a great personality. Such a person is called Nyagroda Parimandala. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who personifies all good qualities, has the body of a Nyagroda Parimandala. His arms are long enough to reach his knees. His eyes are just like lotus flowers. His nose is like a sesame flower, and his face is as beautiful as the moon. The phrase Kanakavadatau is explained as follows. Since they both perform pastimes in the mood of devotees, their complexions are golden. They are the Vishaya Vigraha, or shelter of all devotees. They are the source of all spiritual beauty, and they attract all living entities. Lord Chaitanya is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and Lord Nityananda is his personal manifestation. As stated in the Mahabharata, Dana Dharma, Vishnu Sahasranam Stotra, and in parentheses, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur refers here to two verses, but quotes only two lines from the former. Two lines from the latter verse, Sannyasa Krishnama Shanto Nishta Shanti Purayana. In his later pastimes, he accepts the sannyas order and he is equipoised and peaceful. He is the highest abode of peace and devotion, for he silences the impersonalist non-devotees. These are combined with the former two lines and quoted as one verse in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Suvarna Varna Hemango, Varnangash Chanjanangadi. In his early pastimes, he appears as a householder with a golden complexion. His limbs are beautiful and his body smeared with the pulp of sandalwood seems like molten gold. The word Sankirtanaika Pitaro, Sankirtanaika Pitaro, indicate that Sri Gaura Nityananda are the inaugurators of the Sri Chaitanya, of the Sri Krishna Sankirtan movement. Srila Kaviraj Goswami has written in Chaitanya Charitamrita as follows, Sankirtan Pravartaka Sri Krishna Chaitanya Sankirtana Yajne Tanre Bhaje Shedhanya. Quote, Lord Sri Krishna Chaitanya is the initiator of Sankirtan, the congregational chanting of the holy name of the Lord. One who worships him through Sankirtan is fortunate indeed. By using the Dvivachana form of the word Vishvambar, both Vishvarup and Vishvambar are indicated. Sri Gaura and Sri Nityananda are both Vishnu Tattva, and since they have distributed love of God to the world through the chanting of the holy names, they are known as Vishvambar. Sri Nityananda and Sri Vishvarup are one. Quote, in his early pastimes, quote from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, in his early pastimes he is known as Vishvambar because he floods the world with the nectar of devotion and thus saves the living beings. The verbal root, Dubrin, which is the root of the word Vishvambar, indicates nourishing and maintaining. Indicates what?
Nourishing and maintaining.
Correct. He, Lord Chaitanya, nourishes and maintains the three worlds by distributing love of God. A reference to the word Vishvambar is given in the Vedas, Atharva Veda, second Kanda, as follows. Vishvambar Vishvena Ma Barasa Pahi Swaha. Please preserve me by sustaining the universe, O Vishvambar, upholder of the universe. The word dvija generally refers to Brahmins, Kshatriyas, and Vaishyas who have undergone the purificatory processes. But here the word dvijavarao refers to Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, who are dressed as Brahmins and who have taken the role of Acharyas. Only Brahmins are meant to take sannyas, because Kshatriyas and Vaishyas are not qualified. So according to ashram consideration, only Brahmins are addressed as Dvijavara. Both Sri Gaura and Sri Nityananda took the role of Jagat Guru Acharyas and taught devotional service of the Lord to the people of this world. Therefore, they are the crest jewels amongst the Brahmins. In this incarnation, they did not consider themselves cowherd boys and perform pastimes like Rasalila with any cowherd damsels, either in Gaudadesh or in Orissa. If one wants to destroy the distinction between the Madhurya pastimes of Vrindavan and the Audhurya pastimes of Navadvip, then he will commit rasabhasa and fall into hell due to the offense of opposing the conclusions of the author of Vrindavan Das Thakur and Ramananda Roy. The word dvijavarao may alternatively refer to dvijarajao, or two full moons that have simultaneously arisen. The word yuga is explained as follows. A Mahayuga consists of 4,320,000 earthly years. A Kalpa, or day of Brahma, consists of 1,000 Mahayugas. In this day of Brahma, there are 14 Manus, each of whom rule for 71 such Yugas. A 1/10 portion of a Mahayuga is the duration of Kali Yuga. A 2/10 portion of a Mahayuga is the duration of Dwapara Yuga. A 3/10 portion of a Mahayuga is the duration of Treta Yuga, and a 4/10 portion of Mahayuga is the duration of Satya Yuga. Regarding Yuga Dharma, the process of self-realization for Satya Yuga is meditation, for Treta Yuga is sacrifice, for Dwapara Yuga is deity worship, and for Kali Yuga is? The congregational chanting of the holy names of the Lord Sankirtan. As stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam 12.3.52, Krite Yad Yayato Vishnum Tritayam Yajato Mukai Dwapare Paricharyayam Kalo Tadari Kirtanat. Whatever result was obtained in Satya Yuga by meditating on Vishnu, in Treta Yuga by performing sacrifices, and in Dwapara Yuga by serving the Lord's lotus feet, can be obtained in Kali Yuga simply by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Elsewhere in the Srimad Bhagavatam 12.3.51, it is stated, Kalir Dosha Nite Rajan Astiheko Mahanguna Hirtanadeva Krishnasya Mukta Sangha Param Rajet. My dear King, although Kali Yuga is an ocean of faults, there is still one good quality about this age. What is that one good quality? Simply by chanting a Hare Krishna mantra, one can become free from material bondage and be promoted to the transcendental kingdom. The Srimad Bhagavatam 11.5.36 further states, Kalim sabhajayantyar ya guna gya sarabhagina yatra sankirtanenaiva sarvaswarto bilabhyate. Those who are actually advanced in knowledge are able to appreciate the essential value. There's the word appreciate. Those who are actually advanced in knowledge are able to appreciate the essential value of this age of Kali. I mean, Kali is a bad age, but those who are advanced in knowledge, you're asking, you know, what is an example of the appreciating capacity? Those who are advanced in knowledge are able to appreciate the essential value of this age of Kali. Such enlightened persons worship Kali Yuga because in this fallen age, all perfection of life can easily be achieved by the performance of Sankirtan. And in the Vishnu Purana, it is stated, Jayan Krite Yajan Yagnais Tritayam Dwapare Charyan Yadapnoti Tadapnoti Kalo Sankirtikeshavam. Whatever is achieved by meditation and Satya Yuga, by the performance of sacrifice in Treta Yuga, and by the worship of Krishna's lotus feet in Dwapara Yuga is obtained in Kali simply by? Correct. Simply by glorifying the name of Lord Keshava. The phrase Yuga Dharma Palo is described as follows. According to the scriptures dealing with karma kanda or fruit of activities, the religious principles for the age of Kali is charity. But as the maintainers of Yuga Dharma, the two most magnanimous lords, Sri Gaura and Sri Nityananda, have inaugurated the congregational chanting of the holy names of Krishna. The Srimad Bhagavatam 11.5.32 and 10.8.9 says, Krishnavarnam tusha krishnam sangopangashtra parshadam jagnai sankirtana prayer yajantihi sumedasaha. In the age of Kali, intelligent persons perform congregational chanting to worship the incarnation of Godhead who constantly sings the names of Krishna. Although his complexion is not blackish, he is Krishna himself. He is accompanied by his associates, servants, weapons, and confidential companions. Now, Omkar is smiling in the front row. What are you enjoying so much?
I like the verse you just quoted, the verse that you just read.
You like this verse, Sangha Pangashtra Parshadam. What do you like about it? He's enjoying. No, it doesn't take much to enjoy. I was thinking about it today. The mind has a lot of demands and desires. It always thinks, you know, if I just had this one other thing, then I'd be satisfied. But actually, real satisfaction comes from hearing and chanting. If you can learn to be satisfied by hearing and chanting, and also just let Krishna take care of the other things. There are a lot of extra things the mind wants and thinks that if I have this, I'll be all right. But if you can reduce, less is more. If you reduce the needs and desires and demands of the mind and funnel them into hearing and chanting. And you say that all I need is more time to hear and chant. And then Krishna naturally carries what you lack and preserves what you have in a better way than I could have. You know, I have this experience all the time when I go out to get something that I think I really need and I get it. And then, first of all, there's this anxiety, should I, shouldn't I? And then if I finally do get it, then there's buyer's remorse. Do you ever get this? Or is it just me? You get it and then you think, oh, I shouldn't have got it. And then it doesn't work for some reason, or you know, there's anxiety. But there's no anxiety in hearing and chanting. Especially if I dedicate my life in that way. And that is what Rupa Goswami says is the essence of all advice. Tanama rupa charitari sukirtananu smrityo kramena rasana manasinioja tishtan raje tananu ragi jananu gami kalam nayet akilam itupadesha saram akila upadesh. The essence of all advice, the saram, the cream of all advice, is that you should dedicate your life to hearing and chanting. It's such a powerful process. A submissive hearing. You simply let it go in. Even in the times, like when you do parikrama around Govardhan Hill, some places are very smooth and it feels so good on the feet. Actually, one devotee who walks around Govardhan Hill every day was telling me that it's part of the Ayurvedic science to go barefoot, because you actually you get so much from the surface of the earth. When you put rubber in between you and your foot, then you miss something. It's really true. When you walk around Govardhan and bare feet, and you can feel the temperature of the earth and the texture and so forth. But admittedly, there are some parts that can be pretty rough, especially if they're doing road construction and they leave gravel everywhere. And then you just have to, as they say, suck it up and walk over that part, regardless of the fact that it seems a little austere. And similarly, in hearing and chanting, sometimes there's a way in which I may not have a complete taste, especially for technical parts of the philosophy. But it's important to go through all the books and listen. And inexplicably, the transcendental sound vibration actually goes in the ear and into the heart. Satam prasangam amavirya sambido bhavanti krit karna rasayana kata taj joshanad asru apavargavartmani shada ratir bhaktir anukramishyati. This verse says that when one hears and chants in the association of pure devotees, the effect is very profound, because the sound goes in the ear and then it ends up in the heart. And then the heart changes. There's a revolution in the heart. There's a transformation of heart by what we hear. That's our whole philosophy, actually. And by that transformation, then we go in a different direction, because the heart is the driver of the chariot of the body. Whatever our heart desires, we're going to go for it. So you have to change your heart. Otherwise, you're going to go for something that's detrimental. And therefore, the verse says, when you hear and chant about Krishna and the association of pure devotees, then you change your course in life and you go for apavarga. And pavarga is the hidden description of the material world. Pa, pa, ba, ba, and ma. These are the syllables that epitomize the journey here in the material world. So, dare I say what they are? Okay, pa means hard work. That everyone has to work hard in this world, no exceptions. And pa means that you work so hard that foam comes from your mouth. You know, like the animals that pull a cart. Why do we have to work so hard? That's a good question to ask. I used to ask that when I was in high school. My mother said, first you get all A's, then you can ask these questions. But I quit before I finished. So, fortunately, I was able to join the Hare Krishna movement. So pa means finial, or foam comes from the mouth. Ba means that there's disappointment, that there's always reversals. You get the opposite result of what you expected. Prabhupada points out that Gandhi, Prabhupada was a member of the Gandhian movement, and later on he talked about how his spiritual master told him that it wasn't necessary to first get independence from India to be able to spread the message of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's message and those who preach it are transcendental to the incidental occurrences and zeitgeist of the world. And he pointed out that later, although Gandhi worked so hard for his cause and sacrificed much, at the end, the very people that worked with him killed him. And he wanted unity, but he got the country chopped in half. Lord Mountbatten had that job. He came and divided up the country, took a pen. Okay, we'll go through here. That's a very difficult process, chopping cities and riverways and all kinds of things in half. And anyway, the exact opposite result of what he wanted happened. And same thing, Arjuna on the battlefield of Kurukshetra says to Krishna in the first chapter of the Gita that I'm getting the opposite result of what I was after. And this is disappointment. And then pa means fear. While I'm doing my work, I'm fearful. Even a little bird is looking over his shoulder all the time while he's eating to see who's coming to get him. And when you make money, don't you look over your shoulder and wonder who's going to take it? Then you have to lock it up, and then you're wondering, did I account for it properly? Am I going to have to pay for this later with penalties and interest and so forth? There's a lot of stress in accumulating anything in this world. Just moving about is stressful. And then the last one is ma, which stands for mrityu, which means death. Mrityu sarvaharashchaham. Krishna comes as death and takes away everything at the end. And I've seen it before. I mean, I've heard about it philosophically, everyone's going to die, but I was with my mother when she passed away. I was very close with her, and I spent the last 4 days steadily with her before she left her body. And I noticed that, this is sort of an obvious statement, but I noticed that she left everything behind when she died. I mean, we talk about it all the time, but I actually noticed it because she was in her own home and she had collected a lot of beautiful artwork and pottery, jewels, and all kinds of stuff she had all over the house. And then when she left, it was just left behind. And I noticed that she was here, it was hers, supposedly, and then all of a sudden she was gone and it was all left behind. And she said something to me when she was in the throes of leaving her body that I'll never forget. She said, I never want to have to do this again. Pretty interesting. So this process of mrityu, leaving behind everything that I've accumulated through the sweat of my hard work and so forth, is not pleasant. So apavarga means we change the direction of our deathly pursuits here in the material world, and we go back to Godhead. Apavarga means you reverse all of those aspects. How? By hearing, just by hearing about Krishna, hearing and chanting. And then the heart changes. And there's actually a step-by-step development, which is very healthy spiritually, which means that there's a sense of shraddha, faith, increasing faith, which means that I understand that the more I devote myself to the process of devotional service, I get everything else. Everything else is included. Confirmed. Not only by that, but listen to these characters out here. Can you hear them? Hyenas, right?
Coyotes.
Coyotes? Jackals? Yes.
I have two questions.
Okay.
Question number one is by in the Upanishad, the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by chanting the holy names of by congregation chanting the holy names of Lord Krishna. Whenever I am chanting the holy names of Lord Krishna, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is not there in my mind. So what who is there in my mind is Radha Krishna. In fact, most of the devotions actually say to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, for most of the devotion actually say to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is not there in my mind. Radha Krishna is there. So sometimes I feel that I am actually not worshipping Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. How can we put these two together?
Well, they are together in the form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Radha Krishna Nahayanya, they're already together in one form. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Radha and Krishna. And by worshipping Chaitanya Mahaprabhu one and following his process, one naturally develops love for Radha and Krishna. Now, you are following the process of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, whether you realize it or not, but you're actually in his sampradaya. And you're following the system that he passed down to Sanatan Goswami and Rupa Goswami, personally taught to them, and it's been passed down. And the kinds of activities that you do and the kinds of ways that you worship Radha and Krishna are prescribed by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu through his devotees who have codified that process. And so you're following it. And there are devotees who have every devotee is unique. There's no stereotype in devotional service. Everyone has a unique relationship with Krishna or one of his expansions. And even in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement, there are those who have a proclivity to worship Radha and Krishna. Although generally the Gaudiya Vaishnavas are worshipping Radha Krishna, but some are more focused on worshipping Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And some worship both. And therefore, even as an ultimate destination, there's a way in which some devotees live in both Navadvip and Vrindavan simultaneously and worship both simultaneously, which is possible because spirit soul can expand or be in two places at once. I think you're all right, though. Okay. The holy name is always a fully potent, and that process of chanting the holy names exists. It's eternal. It's an eternal process. However, in other ages, people have different kinds of qualifications, and therefore they concentrate on different kinds of processes. And the verses say, what was obtained in those other ages is available through the chanting of Hare Krishna, which Jiva Goswami says is particularly prominent in the Kali Yuga, and people's qualification in Kali Yuga is that they're disqualified. And that is their qualification. And therefore, there's a dispensation, easy process for them to approach. But the Sanatana Goswami talks a lot about the chanting of the holy name and how potent it is to worship Krishna through chanting his names, and that it is especially relishable and beneficial for anyone who engages in that process. Yeah, one more? Yes? The kinds of meditation that devotees do in Satya Yuga is similar to what they do on Tapo Loka and other higher planets. The four Kumaras, for instance, are expert at this kind of meditation, and they're able to still the mind and focus on a particular form of the personality of Godhead internally and fix their mind in one place. And their meditation becomes so powerful, and for instance, in Tapo Lok, that their bodies are more subtle there anyway, but by the power of their meditation, they actually manifest the form that they're meditating on externally. It depends on the devotee. And Manish, last thing before we have kirtan.
This point on appreciation.
Yes.
I wanted to say a reflection. It's very hard sometimes to connect the dots. Sometimes a misery comes to you and you initially take it as why did this happen? But then when things settle down, you see that it's for a spiritual gain. And then you try to shame the dots.
Hard to connect the dots forward. It takes some internal fortitude by association with devotees and practice of hearing and chanting to tolerate these kinds of missteps and calamities and so forth, and to wait until and calm down. There's a reaction that may take place within the mind and heart that, oh no, I'm finished now, or great difficulty has come to me, but if we're able to take shelter of the fact that Krishna is our well-wisher, and that whatever is coming to us is a process of purification for our own good, then we can come to the point of actually seeing how, when the dust settles, I'm in good hands. Krishna is taking care of me. And we'd also like to appreciate Manish, who's flown all the way from Bangalore to join the yatra and just arrived. But on a scale of 1 to 10, that appreciation was about a 1. So let's try for at least. Now, admittedly, we've come to the end of what we advertised was the time. However, we haven't heard Omkar's kirtan yet, which last night was the highlight of the whole program. And therefore, you have a choice. We're going to have a kirtan. If you need to go, then you can go ahead. Otherwise, we're going to have some bhajan now. And we have some candles. You can light the candles. One more. Oh, and you have announcements. Yes, announcements, of course, coming up about what's going on around here. And then we're going to have a bhajan. And after that, I think there's a snack. Is that correct? Snacks for everybody. Okay, announcements. You can ask questions anytime. Ask a question about tomorrow?
No, about today.
Yes.
I'm going to keep the announcement short tonight because I'm the only one standing between you and Omkar. The program for tomorrow is that we'll be visiting ISKCON of Mayapur, and we'll be seeing a lot of things. Few of the things are a visit and a tour to the Gurukul over there, Prabhupada, Samadhi, etc. And the timings will be as usual. We will meet for breakfast at 9 o'clock and then depart from here on foot. And then we'll be doing kirtan on the way. Come back at 2 o'clock, have our lunch, and then have rest. Or do whatever you want to do until 4:30, maybe again over here for the lecture by Guru Maharaj.
is that enough for mental energy?
But it's a big thing that you know, and actually I was just reflecting on that, that I should never announce the plans for the next day. I should always say it's Krishna is anything. So what happens? Yeah, so we do have some other plans in mind.
I couldn't hear that last part.
So the question was that what happens if there's a change of plan? Do we have a plan B? Like tomorrow also plans A and B.
You mean if there's a hurricane or something?
We looked at the weather and there are no signs of rain. But instead, as far as I could, we could look into over the internet, it would just show us for that week, that we did not have any so much time. But for the rest of the day, all the rest of the tour, the rest of the afternoon, there will be a little sunshine. There's some clouds and some showers early in the morning tomorrow, but the rest of the day.
Rain or shine tomorrow.
Jnana Tumirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Nivetangena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shri Mate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatyadishatarine Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Thank you.
Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare.
Krishna, Hare, 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 Hare,
Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Haribo. Gauranga.
Krishna, Hare Rama.
Hare Jai Jai Nitai Gaura Pranandi Nitai Gaura Nitai Samaveda Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai Shiva Gurudev Maharaj Vaisheshika Das Prabhu Ki Jai Vanitai Gaura Prema Ki
Tomorrow evening, there's a special segment from the Brihat Bhagavatamrita about the chanting the holy names. Since we touched on that, we haven't even passed the first verse of the There's a lot to say about the holy name and the process of chanting and why it's so potent, especially in this age. And in one astounding purport in the Brihat Bhagavatamrita, Sanatana Goswami elucidates the science of chanting and the glories of the holy name in such a profound way that I just warn you in advance, you may not be able to sleep after you hear it. Okay, no sleeping for Ramananda Sagar. I don't think he sleeps anyway, so it's not a big thing. So, anyway, we'll see you all tomorrow morning for a tour of this most sacred place that Srila Prabhupada formed as the world headquarters for the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. We'll be going to various sections. We can't cover the whole campus, but we'll go to various important places, and we'll have someone who is representative of that particular department come out and give us a talk and introduce us to what's going on in those particular places. And we'll be right here at home all day tomorrow, taking in the nectar. So we'll see you in the AM. And now, snacks for everybody. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.